I have a deep love for hiccups in the system. But the great thing was I sat down after the first song next to Steve and said, I love hiccups in the system. And he said, you know what? I'll trade hiccups for the energy in this room any day. And he's right. So I just want to welcome you again, remind you again, this is Youth Sunday. This is something a little different for a Sunday morning service here at Norman Alliance. I welcome you, and I'm glad you're here. Today, what we wanted to provide for you and present to you is a glimpse of what our youth group is, what we do, who we are. And so that involves being loud, that involves having fun, and that involves praising Jesus, and we're happy for that. And so today you're hearing music as we like to play it on Wednesday nights. You're hearing them speaking as you would hear on Wednesday nights, them praying on Wednesday nights. This is our youth group, and we're very grateful for that. The one thing that's going to be a little different is the message today. I wanted to give you an explanation of what I'm doing because it would look weird otherwise. What I wanted you to see is what I see on a Wednesday night. So my back's going to be to you. I'm talking to them. I'm going to present to them the scripture that we have this morning in a lesson format. And you guys get to see the blank looks that I get every week when I ask a question. And you get to see the answers that I get when I ask a question. And so it's a wonderful thing. They went through the first service, so they have an idea of what's coming. A lot of this is not rehearsed, and that's a good thing, because I like to present to you what we feel in the moment, and that's what we do every week. So without further ado, we have four couches, two tables, five microphones, and hopefully we'll give you something interesting. So the scripture we're going to be reading today comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. If you're using a pew Bible, it's in page 206. So I'm thrilled to say that they bring their own Bibles. They don't do that every week. I made them today. I asked them to, but they don't do it. But it's good. We're all up here. We've got the scriptures, so we're going to dig into it. So let's give this a shot. Okay, Ron read the scripture in the first service. I need another volunteer. Yeah, this is every week. Mike. One through nine.
These are the commands, decrees, and laws of the Lord your God, directed to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, and by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy a long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it will go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them to your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as a symbol on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your house and on your gates.
Okay. We'll start with the basics. There was one verse that was presented as the basis for this morning. It's the reason we're wearing Go Big or Go Home t-shirts. And it's the theme for this morning. What verse is that? Katie.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength.
Okay, Deuteronomy 6:5 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That's a great and wonderful commandment. And so the question that I'm going to ask you first, and you know this question's coming, why? Why should we love the Lord our God with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, and with all of our strength?
Because the Bible tells me so.
Okay. David says it's because the Bible tells him so. Why does the Bible tell you so? What does the Bible tell you so? How does the Bible say it? What do we know about God? Why should we love Him so much?
Jesus.
Okay. I'm going to expound on that. That's the Sunday school answer, and that's a good answer. Tell me about Jesus. We've got a large crowd of people here. We are a group of people who sit here, confess to be Christians, and believe in Jesus. What is it about Jesus that should make us want to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength? Ron.
He did the same for us.
Because He did the same for us. How so? Okay. I think we should use the microphones. Keep them handy, just so the people can hear. But Ron said that it's because Jesus came to die for our sins. He gave that sacrifice. He gave us the ultimate sign of love. And so we're called to love God. This passage lays out a few other reasons why we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength. They're in the beginning of the passage, the first few verses, and we're looking for the words that, the phrases that begin with "so that." So somebody find a phrase that says "so that," and we will talk about it.
So that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land you will possess.
Okay. So that you will prosper. So loving the Lord our God will cause us to prosper. Does that mean that everything's always going to go well for us? But it does mean that there's a reward. Okay. And that reward, though we may not taste it until eternity, that reward is eternity. And so there is a reward. We will prosper at the hand of God. What were some of the other things in there? Go ahead.
Same one. That you may live and prosper, prolong your days in the land that you possess.
Okay, prolong your days, that you'll live longer. Does loving the Lord your God with everything you've got mean that you're going to live to be 100? Okay. But does it mean that those days that you have with God in your life, that that's really living? Find another "so that." Somebody give me another "so that." Yes, Katie.
So that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all His decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy a long life.
Okay. So that you will fear God. Tell me about fear. What is it about God that we fear? Why is there fear of God? Struggled with this one in the first service too. Fear of God. Why is that something to look forward to? Well, what is it about that?
Okay. Because He controls like whether we live and die or anything, so normally we'd want to make like do anything possible to make Him happy.
Okay. Well, that's an interesting answer. That's different than what we got in the first service. Okay, I'll start with the first part of that, because He controls everything. He is the creator of the universe. He is God Almighty. That alone is enough to fear, because He is that great, and we are not. The second part was interesting, though. That we should do everything to make Him happy, because He would control whether we live or die. I'm going to say this. Our God is not a vindictive God. Do we know what that means? No? Okay. So Sean's saying that maybe we should live as if He were a vindictive God, even though He's not. That's good. Because here's the thing, that God's not out to get us. He's not watching thinking, Boy, Ronnie, you really screwed up yesterday. Wait till you see what's coming. That's not what God's got for us. It's quite the opposite. God has forgiveness and mercy and grace waiting for us when we do wrong. But he is to be feared because he does have that control and that power. And it's a great thing to know that God is not vindictive, that he's not out to get us, that he's actually got something great for us. But we need to approach him with that fear and that respect that he deserves because of who he is. We tracking? Yeah, tracking. Okay. And so we've talked a little bit about what we're supposed to do. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And we've talked a little bit about why you're supposed to do it. Because the Bible tells us so. Because of Jesus. Because God loves us that much. Because we'll prosper. Because we'll have long life. The important thing and the focus of this morning is on how we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength. And the interesting thing is, at this point, you guys know the basic message. We've gone through this just a couple times. I hope by now it's sinking in, because this message is worth repeating. And that's why I love this message, because I've now presented it to you four times in some form or another just to prepare your mind and your heart. Four times since Wednesday. I hope by now it's sinking in. And that as we finish this service, as we leave this place today, that the next 15 minutes, 20 minutes, stick with us. I don't often get the opportunity to repeat my lessons this often. So I hope it sticks. Right, Lucy? Right. It's my daughter, I can say that. So now we're going to look into how we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. And so I need a volunteer. Again, Laura did it in the first service, so she's off the hook. To read verses 7, 8, and 9 one more time. Oh, it looks like Evan's been volunteered.
Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them to your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates.
Okay. That's a lot of instruction in a short span. First thing it says is to teach them to your children. Impress them upon your children. Do we have to worry about that up here?
No.
That day will come. Come talk to me then. The first thing it says is you shall talk about them when you're sitting in your home, when you're sitting in your house. What do you think that means? Yes.
Talk about them with your family.
Okay, talk about them with your family. Remember, we don't read too deep into things that don't need to be read into. This says talk about it when you're sitting at home. Talk about God when you're sitting at home. When you're in your house, let the conversation be about the glory of God. When you're in your house with your friends, with your family, whoever is there with you, let it be about the glory of God. Next thing it says is when you're walking. What do we think that might mean? Laura?
When you're going somewhere.
When you're going somewhere. How often do you walk? Quite often. I would say it's a primary mode of transportation. For a lot of you, some can drive. It's amazing how little you walk once you can drive. Walking is something that we do day in and day out and we take for granted. It's something not everybody can do. But it's something that is a part of our lives, so much so that we just don't even think about it. You get up, you got to go somewhere, you walk there. And so when we're supposed to love God as we're walking, I think that might just mean to love God while you're walking. Okay, it says when you lie down. Give me a reason throughout the day that you might lie down.
Sleep.
Sleep. Something we're familiar with, right? And so this is saying that you love the Lord your God, you keep His commandments in mind when you lie down. At least how many times a day do you go to sleep? Usually. Once. Possibly more. Sometimes not at all. It's something you do every day. It's something that you do at the end of every day. So it's saying that as you lie down, as you go to bed at night, be thinking about God, be loving God, be thanking God for the blessing that that day had been. And then the next thing it says is when you rise. When would you rise?
When you wake up.
When you wake up. These are not prompted answers. When you get up in the morning, is the first thought that comes to your mind how great God is? Because when the last thought before you lie down is about loving God, and the first thought when you get up is about loving God, it sets the tone for the day, because you're thanking God for what He's done, and then you're starting the next day refreshed and ready because God's walking by you. Okay, it says you're to bind them as a sign on your hands. What do we do with our hands? Everything. Give me some specific examples of everything. Things you do throughout the day with your hands.
Catch a football.
Yes, we catch a football. And so we do that with our hands, right? Because you don't catch in your stomach. You don't. It's with the hands. And when you catch with the hands, every time you do something as simple as catching a football, we're to do it with the love of God on our minds, in our hearts, in our soul, and in our strength. What else do we do with our hands? Move couches. Yes, something that might happen in about an hour. And as you're doing that, I would encourage you to do it with the love of God in your heart. The bottom line, we do a lot of things with our hands every day. Another thing, so much so that we take it for granted. And so, as we do even the simplest tasks, brushing our teeth, eating meals, we have to remember that this is a tool that God gave us and that it's to be used for His glory, even in the smallest of tasks. Okay, we're supposed to put it right between our eyes. The commands of God right between our eyes. Do you think God meant that we're supposed to tape the Bible to our foreheads? No. I'm seeing confusion. Okay, I like this exercise in the first time. Everybody, grab your Bible and hold it up to your forehead. This means you too. Grab your Bible and hold it up to your forehead. Tell me what you see.
The Bible.
The Bible. Okay, as you bind the Word of God right between your eyes, the only thing you can see is the Word of God. Every time you look at yourself in a mirror, you will see the Word of God. The objective is to get it to be to a point where every time you look, another thing we do a lot, all you see is the Word of God. When you look in the mirror, you see a child of God, and you see how God has impacted your life all the time. And if every once in a while you have to walk around with the Bible taped to your forehead, I won't question it, because sometimes we need something that blunt. And then lastly, it says that we're to write it on the doorposts of our house and on the gates. Why might we do that? Yes.
So that everywhere we go, we can see the commandments, so we can live by them.
Okay. So that as you go place to place. How many times throughout the course of a day do you walk through a door frame? Whether it's at your house, whether it's at the church, whether it's at school, at the grocery store. A lot. And so, wouldn't it be great if every time you entered into a new place, a new room, a new home, a new store, whatever it is, the first thing that came to mind was how great God is, that He blessed you with that. And so, as we look at this passage, we're called to love the Lord our God with all that we are and all that we have. And we do it for good reason. God gives us a good reason. There's something in it for us if we put something in it for Him. girl. But the key thing here is what this describes is that every moment of every day, we're to have God on our minds, on our hearts, and in our actions. So that when we wake up in the morning, when we use our hands, when we look in the mirror, when we look at anything, when we walk, when we enter a new room, when we lay down at the end of the day, the imprint of God is all that's on our minds and our hearts. It changes the way you look at the world. It changes the way you look at other people when you start seeing them through the lens of the Scriptures. And when you start seeing them through the lens of the love of God. And so that's my challenge today. It's not just a challenge for them. The task that I gave the youth in preparing this message was to look at their own lives through that lens. To see what it is that they're not doing, that they should be doing, and to see what it is that's stopping them from doing it. And so, there's a lot more people here this time. But the challenge I gave them was to stand in front of this congregation and to say what it is that's keeping them from loving God with all they've got. It's a deep challenge, and it's one that I do extend to all of you, because there's always something. There's always a reason that we come up with to not focus on the Creator of the universe, to not think about our Savior, to not seek the presence of the Holy Spirit every day. And so I just ask you, as they're presenting what's on their hearts, that you might think about what's on your own heart and what it is. It's the simplest, usually the dumbest things that we do instead of focus on God. It's difficult to stand up and do this. And so we're going to pray, and I hope they're all ready. But I want you to see what God has impressed on them, and hopefully it would inspire you to do something similar. So who would like to pray? Katie.
Dear Lord, I just want to thank you for this day, even though it is a rainy day. And I want to thank you for Youth Sunday and for the blessings that we've had today. And I just pray that from our great message that we just follow all the commitments seriously and that we make a commitment. And no matter how small or how big the problem is that's holding you back, just that we keep on going with it and we just stick to it, because we do not want to be further away from you, God. And even if somebody sees these shirts or sees anybody else and asks about Jesus, that we will not be afraid, that we will be undignified, and that we will just tell them about everything that God has done in our lives and has just done ever, and just tell them how great He is. And I just pray that God just reigns in our hearts forever, and that we just know that even if we do stumble, He will pick us up and brush the dust off of us, and we will go further with Him. Amen.